Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Anne Baldwin.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. I'll try to settle down a little bit because it is early, but you know what? What better time to talk about the things that we talk about right here on The Connection, right, Lisa?
That's right.
That's right. You can never get enough of this show. And I just want to tell you, too, since we've given out some contact information, whether folks have reached out to The Connection, Inc. directly, I've gotten some emails from some of our listeners as well, at Ann@BaldwinMedia.net. And we just really appreciate it. We've been out at events. People are saying that they're listening to the show early on a Sunday morning. And you know what? We appreciate that. It's quality, not quantity, right?
That's right.
That's right. So why don't you take care of introducing our next guest here on the program and let folks know what they're in for today.
Well, I'm very excited to do the show with you, Ann. And what we were just talking about before we went live on air is the importance of highlighting the amazing citizens in Connecticut that are in recovery and come into treatment programs in the agency, not just The Connection, but my other nonprofits. Thank you all out there for the great work you do, and to talk about the fact that recovery is possible and stopping a life of suffering and addiction is possible, and it's amazing, amazing folks that we have on our show that talk about their journey is an inspiration to me for so many reasons. I think that for sure most of the folks that I work with come into this field because addiction and mental health, etc., affects all of us personally in some way, shape, or form, whether we're in recovery or not, or we have a family member or someone close to us that has been in recovery. We come into this field because we know that it works. So without further ado, I want to talk.
Drum roll, please.
I am really, the reason why I know that I work at The Connection and do the work that I do is because sitting to the right of me is an amazing gentleman, David.
And David is a graduate of the Roger Sherman House located in New Haven. So thank you so much for being here. We talk about this all the time, David, is that it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to come here and tell your story. So why don't you tell people a little bit about, you know, what happened? And then I want folks to understand, you know, what the Roger Sherman House is for, what its intentions are, and, you know, how there are success and how there are success stories like you emerging from it.
First, I thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
So my story actually would start at a very young age. And it would start, I first got incarcerated when I was 17 years old. So I grew up as a youth in prison. I started at Manson Institution, and throughout the ages, I went to different prisons. I actually got out. And I got out about the age of 24.
But I got to back up a second. What landed you there in prison in the first place?
I committed a charge of first degree robbery when I was 17. And the robbery, I did it with a BB gun, and I was given a very hefty sentence for it. My sentence was 20 suspended after 10 with 5 years probation at the age of 17.
Even as a juvenile?
Even as a juvenile. I was charged as an adult for the crime. And like I said, I was incarcerated for many years for that. And I got out and ended up still getting locked up again in a different state for a charge of possession of ammunition in the back of my trunk. So what got me to the point of Roger Sherman was I actually broke down after the previous incarceration. And I believe by that breaking down, it got me to a point of humility and submission. to realize that I lost all control of my life. I'm not sure why at those ages I was doing the things I did. I think a lot of it comes down to acceptance, as I was speaking to someone about previously. And I guess I wanted to be accepted and maybe loved and cared for. I didn't feel like I was experiencing that from the environment that I came from. And it's not to say that I didn't have a parent, or I grew up with one parent. That was my dad. He actually is my adopted dad, so I never actually met my real parents. And I didn't know, I don't know, I don't feel like I had that too much of that love. It was more strict and sternness. So I believe when that happens to certain individuals, we kind of go backwards. And we look for it in other environments and other places. And I found it in, I don't want to use the word love, but I found acceptance in maybe the wrong lifestyle. And I continued to live out that lifestyle till eventually my activities caught up to me.
Were you using drugs and alcohol?
Yes, I was more of nothing. I never did heavy drugs. I was more of just weed smoker and alcohol, but I never got into the heavy drugs. But I was using. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after your two? So you were in prison for an extended amount of time, and then you ended up at Roger Sherman House. What happened when you got there?
When I got to Roger Sherman House, the first thing I did was being in the point of humility I was already in, I seen it more as an opportunity and not as something that was against me. I seen it more as, you know, I believe in a higher power. So I had seen it more as, you know, this is something good. This is a gift. You're being given a second chance. And with that second chance, I used it. I actually got employment within my first, not even month or two. And there was a computer center where I was just consistently filling out applications. And there was a gentleman there who, you know, he taught me one simple lesson.
Bob.
That it was, yes, it was Bob. Bob was the work counselor, and then another gentleman, and I can't remember his name per se, but they did teach me one important acronym that I believe helped me till this day to continue employment. And the acronym is KISS, and it was keep it short and simple.
So I was doing, see, I've heard another word, keep it short. Stupid.
I would go in front of the employees. I would try to keep it as simple as possible without having to disclose too much of my background. Mm-hmm. And in certain instances, it did work. And it's been on my side thus far. So
can I just stop you there real quick, David? Because you bring up a really good point, and Lisa, you can speak to this. It's not just a roof over their head. It's wraparound services that go with that. So, for example, giving you the tools that you need to go out to find employment, because this isn't a permanent solution to anybody's situation. This is a step in the right direction. It's a hand up, not a hand out.
But what I want to say, though, is David, I heard about you for a really long time from Bob McAdams, who's does the vocational work at Roger Sherman. And Bob often told myself and the other staff about you and your belief in moving forward and focusing on a goal and really wanting to rebuild your life and move it forward after what your past had been like. And he was so proud of you. And I know you made a connection with Bob. Bob still talks about you. Bob talks about you all the time. Okay. And I also believe that what happens is what's really, really important is that the staff meet our folks that come in where they are and make a connection. And I know you have that connection with Bob, right? And so can you talk a little bit about, because you're underplaying the success, because I know your story because I heard it so many times and I love the story. So you filled out your application and you got this job, and then what happened? What was your goal? Talk about what your goal was and how you got there.
It was actually took place in two different situations. I was first working at Dunkin' Donuts. And while at Dunkin' Donuts, there was a new company called Golden Corral that opened up in Milford, Connecticut. And I kind of transitioned into Golden Corral. And when I was there, I told Bob one day that I'm going to manage this company. And I said, one day I'm going to walk in here with a burgundy shirt, which was the company, the colors of the management. And I'm just going to show you that. I want to show you that shirt. And Bob was in the office and I just walked in. He was speaking to another client, and I just walked in, and I just opened my my coat, and I just showed Bob that here's the shirt, and I actually began to manage that company while in a halfway house. I was a manager at a restaurant.
Is that amazing?
I love that story because everybody else wears different colored shirts, and you didn't understand maybe in the beginning, like, why is that person's shirt that color, and that person's is that color, and you're like, I want to wear that color shirt, but in order to do so, you got to be the manager. That was your goal. You set the goal, and you did it.
And that's just indicative of, we can say it's a shirt and all of that, but that is really your determination and your strength from all the things that happened to really move forward to, because you knew inside that you had the ability to become a manager, which is not easy in anywhere that you work, and you really work towards that goal. So that is just amazing. So then, so tell us about, so that happened for you. So what's happened, where are you now, and what's happening in your life, and how have things changed since then?
Since then, life has gone very fast, very quick. It's just gone very quick. I now have a child.
Yay! Congratulations.
So, that's great.
He's 8 months now. So I wasn't out of the halfway house too much before I actually, you know, had a child. And I don't know. It's an amazing thing. I also work at a different company now as a executive director of housekeeping, and we just actually had our first inspection, which we passed yesterday.
Congratulations! That's wonderful.
And I'm learning as we go. Like I'm still learning, even though I feel like I accomplished all these things, which sometimes I don't realize coming from a background I came from how important that is and how major it is.
It's huge.
And I'm very humble because Bob, I always tell Bob about all my imperfections, and Bob always tries to remind me of all the good things, because I'm consistently, I don't know, realizing that I'm not to where I want to be yet, and I'm striving to get there. But Bob, you know, he keeps me very stable. Bob's been one of the biggest helps for me. And I actually just seen Bob last week.
That's
so
great.
We talked, and we were just, you know, continue to speak on what I'm going through, you know. And even at times, you know, I'm surprised, because I never expect for, you know, people who are in positions where they were supervising us to speak on what they were going through. And then that's when you kind of really hit and you realize you're not the only one struggling in life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's helped me to understand that knowledge, and I'm starting to see that people are just, you know, struggling in general. And life is not always easy, no matter where you from and what field you come from.
It is. That's true.
It is really true.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other folks in the Roger Sherman House, not specifically, but what were some of the other folks in there, you know, dealing with, because everybody's story is different. And how does that work when it all comes together under one roof?
I remember one gentleman, I won't speak his name. I actually don't even remember his name fully. And I think the main thing I realized about him was his inability to escape his own environment. And it was basically, you know, he was still stuck with those previous thoughts. He wasn't able. Yeah. And we could definitely call him that. And I go back to, there's a biblical scripture that it says you must be renew your mind. And I don't believe that gentleman, I just remember his mind just didn't seem like, even while he was incarcerated, he attempted to renew his thinking. And I don't think that we can ever proceed throughout this lifestyle coming from that type of background without renewing your thoughts. And you have to, because the only way you're going to react is you're going to react based off of what you already know. You have nothing else to react off of. In order for that to happen, to react in a more different nature, you have to first renew your old thoughts so that you can have something to react from. And I just remember just everything he said was more of the world was against him.
Mm-hmm. Negativity.
And it was very negative. And eventually, my understanding is he did get incarcerated again, which I kind of felt like I was trying to speak with him. I felt like maybe because I was older than he was, I did say a little bit of what I've been through. We made a connection as individuals within the connection.
Right, but maybe somebody planted the seed, like in recovery. If you plant that seed, maybe he didn't succeed this time, but like you, maybe he'll come back the next time and that seed will begin to grow. And Lisa, this really points out here too what David's talking about. You have to have new tools, if you will. It might mean behavioral health services for people. It might be addiction care. It might be, you know, for everybody it's different. And that's where, you know, all the Connections programs kind of come together, because your issues, I'm sure, are different than his issues or different than the next person's issues. So that's where it's that, you know, comprehensive care that really counts.
But I do think, I do like what you just said about that, the biblical scripture and sort of renewing your vision constantly, being uncomfortable, really, right? It's not going back to you knew what it was like, because that didn't work. And that is life. I think when you get in a comfortable zone, irregardless, it's not good. You have to kind of stay uncomfortable and just kind of like sometimes throw yourself out there for opportunities to happen. So how do you, what works for you? Like, how do you do that? How do you sort of get yourself in a mode where you're just going to go for it? You know, those little voices are always there for all of us, right? But what works for you? Well, you're a dad now, so that must be amazing, right? That's got to be so cool. But what is it? What do you say when you have like those thoughts? Like, how do you work through that?
Everything kind of right at this moment, no matter how difficult the struggle is, comes down to my faith. That faith for me was developed while incarcerated. And it was kind of once I got out, I believe that. I always tell a buddy of mine, I say, wow, I had so much. I felt like I was so much, you know, my faith was so much better when I was incarcerated. I actually tell him this. But it wasn't that our faith was so much better while incarcerated. We were just in a different environment. But that faith that we had from being incarcerated got us to the point we're at now, to move forward. And throughout life, your just faith will continue to grow to get you through the next steps that you'll have to face in life. So for me, it's always my faith, and it's just continuously, you know, I'm in a lot of, I pray a lot, you know, and I thank God, because my humility and just realizing that I am not perfect. Bob's gonna laugh when he hears this, that I am not perfect is what really keeps me humbled. Because I don't believe in judging others, because once you try to, you're always looking at yourself like, so you're perfect today, huh? So I'm glad that you're judging that person. So for me, it's like my understanding that I'm not perfect, and it helps me in being humble as I walk throughout life.
Well, Lisa asked you when you walked in today, and I was just kind of standing back and observing this, and she said, how are you doing today? Lisa's always so great at checking with in people, and she's not just asking the question because, like, you know, how you doing? It's, I mean, she really wants to know. You really want to know how people are doing today. Your response was interesting to me. Can you share that with our listeners?
I basically said, you know, I'm okay. And the reason why I say that is because I kind of like try not to judge my situation so much. A lot of times in life we'll say, for instance, we could drop a pen on the ground and say, oh, this is such a horrible day. But that could be the best thing that ever happened to you.
I know.
So in life at this moment, it's not that it's good or bad. It's just going. And I'm kind of just going with the steps of it. I really don't like to put a judgment on anything, because we don't know where it can lead us.
True.
So if everything in life isn't working out today, for, you know, a month down the line, it could have been the greatest thing that ever took place mm-hmm. in your
You're
life.
You're absolutely right.
God, that's great advice, isn't it?
Oh, I needed to hear that today.
Like, I'll have a lady at the, you know, at the bank lady, she'll say, so how are you today? And you know what I say sometimes? You don't want to know. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, I'm great. Because I'm not great. And she doesn't need to hear my crap either. So I'll just say, you don't want to know. But that really puts things in perspective. It really, really does. Because sometimes it's the small stuff, right, that puts us over the edge.
Yes.
And we think it's the worst thing that's happening to anybody else out there. We can't even fathom what some people are living with out there, what people are going through.
No.
You know, it's absolutely, we need those checks and balances.
We all have struggles. And we're all dealing with things that we never talk about with each other.
Right.
And we all have it. Every single one of us is fights, battles every single day. And that's, you know, how you become the person that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that I think one thing too is having faith, and also knowing who you need to call or reach out to.
Right.
For myself, maybe it's Bob and you have other folks, but for me, it's always who's going to give me the reality check, mm-hmm. not who's going to tell me what I want to hear, mm-hmm. but someone who's not going to judge me and love me for all my imperfections, because I have a lot of them. So I think that's what it's all about, right? Taking a moment at a time.
Right. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with, we're going to call you David. We respect people by not using their last names, if that's all right with you. And you are what they call a graduate of the Roger Sherman House program, and that's located in New Haven. And I do want to mention to folks out there, you know, this might not be the program for you within the connection. There's so many different programs that are offered, but the website is always a great place to go for that information and for more services. And what I love, and I'll give that before I keep going on, it's theconnectioninc.org, theconnectioninc.org. And the beautiful thing about it is with 211, that's also a great resource. If you don't have the programs at the Connection for people and it's the right fit, there's a collaborative effort in the state of Connecticut where you work together and you find the right fit for the person to get them what they need to get them better. Because it only benefits our society. I mean, where do you think you would be if you didn't find the Roger Sherman House? What do you think we'd be dealing with? What would the other David look like? Oh, that evil laugh.
I don't necessarily want to say that it would have been bad.
Okay.
But I don't think I would have had the advantages that I had. And one was being the ability to save my money on my own. That's not likely. Anyone who knows me is going to be like, oh, man, this guy, he's just going to go spend and buy something. But it was the ability to save my money. With that money, I already made preparations that as soon as I got out, I ended up with an apartment, a vehicle. So these little benefits, they really helped me into being where I am today. Because without that vehicle, I wouldn't be where I work today. And without that apartment, I would have never had a place to live. I would have never met the people that I met going forward. So I think, it was more of the I took. But I believe even with that, you have to take control of that advantage. You got to want it. You know, a lot of times I see is, you know, people when we're in, we're like, oh, I can't wait to get to the halfway house. I can't wait. We sit there and we pray for it. We want it. We talk about it every day. And then it happens. And there's sometimes, you know, we don't take advantage of it. And I, like I said, I just think it also comes from a state of not being mentally prepared, not putting those good thoughts in your head, not having a goal. Not having any focus, you're just kind of just, you go back to the wrong environment. So for me, it was, you know, very beneficial. I do think that, like I said, I don't believe in going down the wrong path anymore. Mm-hmm. I do believe that, you know, things could happen, but I don't have a desire for it. I think you got to relieve yourself of that desire as well. And for me, it's not the lifestyle I want. I don't like living in a level of fear. I don't like living and a level of being controlled by, you know, wrong things. I don't believe there's any peace in that. So I'm more of to a point of peace. I like peace, whether it is in this or that. I just want that peace.
Well, so, too late. Yeah, your baby's probably crying all night long. So that's, there goes that peace and quiet. But David brought up a good point too, Lisa, is that some people look at it as,
well, it's chaos.
Well, that, but it's going to be, I'm getting out. I'm going to a halfway house, so that's going to get me out of here. But then to take full advantage of it, whether it starts with financial literacy, I mean, some people don't have and have never been provided those skills to get started, and then it's overwhelming. If you don't know how to balance a checkbook, you don't know how to budget, you don't have the job, you don't have the car, you know, you feel hopeless and helpless. So with these things building on one another throughout these programs, it's obtainable. It's doable, right?
That's very true.
You know that. You've lived it.
Very true.
And you're going to continue to live it.
Yes.
And help others live it.
Yes.
So it's not an escape route.
No.
It really is a success plan if you can keep it going.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And for me, it's like I put everything in increments. It's like I believe, you know, halfway house, that was one step on a ladder. When I got out, that was the next step. So on every ladder, you're going to meet different, you're going to have different temptations. You're going to have different training, like, that's just going to, and it's only to get you to the next step. And this is what, for me, what life is. Life is a continuous ladder going from one step. And on that first leg of that ladder, you're learning something. You're learning to deal with what's going to be on the next leg of that ladder and the next leg of that ladder and going and so on and so forth. So for me, that's what the halfway house was. And it got me prepared because it gave me just enough where it was like, you're free, but be careful. You know, so it gave me just enough to prepare me to be fully free from you know, that incarceration environment.
Why do you think you got into the halfway house and some people don't?
It goes back to faith. I just believe everything for me is God at this point. And just my faith. I believe, you know, with the right level of prayer, if you really believe in, for me, it's like God revealed that to me, you know, that I'm here for you. And like I said, and for me, it was only because I was, in order for me to receive that, I had to be broken, and I was broken, and that was it. It was like, there is nothing else. So for me, I was very broken, and because of that, I felt like I was able to receive God now. It's like I was able to receive that instruction, that obtain whatever it was I needed. So for me, it's that would be, and then, you know, if you want to do it on a natural playing field, you know, I also put in a lot of requests and like, hey,
you have to be your own advocate, right? Yeah. You've got to know what you want and you got to go and get it. I mean, people aren't going to do this stuff for you. But what I love about the show, Lisa, is like you sit across from these people, and this is the stereotype piece of this, right? Like you're sitting across from me. Would you think that I'm in recovery from alcohol for almost 10 years?
No, I would not.
Okay. And no, I'm sitting across from you, and I'm looking at you and your nice sweater and your cute shoes and all that stuff and your big smile, and I'm thinking, I can't believe that you've done two stints in prison. You know, that's, again, we've got to get rid of those stereotypes.
Right.
We've got to go, because it's people like you. It's people like me. It's people out there that you would never, you know, you're sitting next to them in Starbucks. You don't know. You don't know what somebody's got going on, where somebody's
right.
been, or where they could end up. And I just love it. I just love your story, David. It's so great.
Thank you.
You're really an inspiration. And you have no idea how you've impacted my life and Bob's life and other folks that work at the agency by your story and your determination, because we want to be there to help you. Where to meet you where you are, but the reality is that you have no idea what you're doing for us, because this is why we do the work we do. But we're able to build these close relationships with folks that we really care about, and you know how much Bob cares about you, right? You are, you know, that's it. But I also know how much you care about him, and there's a compassion, there's a true love there between the two of you, and that's amazing.
That's what it's about. But you know, when Beth and Allison go to set up these shows, and we love it. We love the real people stories. And you know, there's success. There's so many success stories out there because of the programs through the connection. This isn't just like the exception to the rule here, sitting across from us. There are these kinds of stories in every program every day, and that's why you do what you do. And we got to get more people in the seat. But you know, it's intimidating. It's not easy for everyone to tell their story. And again, thank you for that. Because it gives us all a reality check. So I just want to say to you, you know, continued success. Keep up the good work. What's your son's name?
David.
David.
Aww.
David. That's great.
Eight months. That's awesome.
Enjoy. I love the 9 to 12 because they can't walk yet usually, and they got the little fat legs. Oh, that's my favorite part. Well, thank you. And again, if you're looking for any resources or information, a great place to go is to theconnectioninc.org. Another great show.
Yes. David, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
An inspiration to all of us and to all our listeners out there. It's just one phone call away. If you need help or assistance, please reach out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening to another edition of The Connection. We'll see you back here, same time, same place, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.